for Halachim Chavis Aldovus, Monday night, or morally Yudala Teves. So it snowed in Yerushalayim, and I understand it snowed in Ramat Beit Shemesh also. So now the question is, snow on Shabbos, so it's not poshut. The question is if it's muktzah or not. So Tosfos and Erevin talks about if rain is muktzah, nolad. If it rains on Shabbos, is it nolad? I mean, I tell you the Gemara. Anyway, the maskana is pretty clear that it's not nolad because of the reasons the Gemara gives. So rain is not muktzah. Of course, if it becomes not ro'i, if it becomes very dirty or muddy or wherever it lands, then of course it is muktzah. But we're talking about mitzad nolad, it's not nolad. Snow. What about snow? So Rav Moshe says that it is muktzah. I'm not sure. I don't know where it's printed. All the places I saw said that they spoke to Rav Moshe Feinstein about it. And it's either, if you look at Tosfos, it's more likely to be nolad than rain. You'll have to see the reason by rain and see by snow. Maybe it's not, the reason doesn't apply, so it's more likely to be nolad. But Rav Moshe's main reason, apparently, from what they bring down, is that it's muktzah machmas gufo, because it's not used. Rain is used, rain is water, water is used, it could be used if it's not dirty or muddy, as we said. But snow is not something that you use. Snowball, snowman, whatever. But that's not a use, and therefore it's muktzah machmas gufo. That's Rav Moshe. However, the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa brings down from Rav Shlomo Zalman that it's not muktzah and not nolad. And therefore, your kids would probably want you to be meikil. It's hard to be machriya in a machlokas between major league poskim like this. But I don't know. So if your wife wants to keep the kids out of the snow anyway, so she could tell them it's muktzah. If she wants to let them play in the snow, so maybe you can rely on the shittas that it's not muktzah. Okay. What? Talking about building, it depends. It could be a problem. Even making a snowball could be a problem. But I'm not going into town. We're just discussing the muktzah aspect of snow. Okay. Chavis Halvavis, we're learning Shaar Avos Hashem. And we're in Perek Sheni. And he says there's three ways one can develop Avos Hashem. We'll just go over the three ways, and then we'll stop and we'll continue. This is really where we're up to, but we'll go over the three ways. And really, each of the ways, even if they seem somewhat self-centered, not pure, but really, halavai, 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 we would be able to develop Avos Hashem for any of the reasons, meaning the first two seem somewhat selfish love, while the third one is pure. The first reason is to think of all the things Hashem has done for you, for us, for you, and this includes the whole Shaar HaBechina in Chavis Halvavis. It involves your life, it involves everything. I mean, people ask for life on Rosh Hashanah, but how many people think on Yud Gimel Teves, wow, Hashem has really given me life, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. That's 3 months and 12 days in Teves. That's pretty good. Thank you, Hashem. Something like that. We think about that on Rosh Hashanah. Oh, please, l'chaim, you know. But the Kosneidim say for l'chaim, and then here's Yud Gimel Teves. You have to say, wow, thank you, Hashem. So this really splits into two, because you can love someone because of what they give you and how much they give you and how they're there for you always, and then fear of losing it. So that's the first type of Avos Hashem. The second type is that you can develop a love because Hashem overlooks our faults. So you say, well, I don't have any faults, so that's not negay on me. But maybe if you start thinking about all the things you do, like just pick something, davening, learning, giving tzedaka, ben adam l'chaveiro, just pick something, and then all of a sudden you'll go, yikes, thank you, Hashem. Well, wow, Hashem, look how much Hashem overlooks. And if you think you're flawless still, so just ask somebody else, and he'll tell you about all your flaws. And if he won't, then ask your wife. She'll tell you for sure. Okay. And the third type of ahava is taka, a pure love, where you can love someone. Like, let's say you see a tzaddik. You see a tzaddik. So the tzaddik never did anything for you, and your lives don't really interact. But you say, well, here was a person I would love to be close to him. I would love to bond with him. I would love to have just purely because of what the person is. So that is really that's the flawless love of Hashem that we're supposed to have, because of Hashem's greatness and chesed and chokhmah, not because you benefited from it. See, there's two ways to look at Shaar HaBechina. You can look at Shaar HaBechina as the first type of ahava, meaning Hashem did this for me, Hashem did this for me, Hashem did this for me, right? Ilufinu molashir kayam molashirinu minon kamon galov, etc., etc. Right? And Nachum was speaking the Hodos of Hashem, the Kenim Bokeh was saying, "No alachas mayola felfei alafim." So right, there's no end, really, once you start thinking. But then there's a way of looking at Shaar HaBechina, which is a reflection of Hashem's greatness and kindness and chokhmah. So that in itself is a reason to develop ahava, like you can develop ahava just from knowledge of a very great person. And that's, as I said, that's obviously a selfless one. Halavai, we should be able to develop it for the first two reasons. But the third one is the pure, flawless, selfless ahava, which is the highest madrega of all. Okay, we'll stop here.